everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode, and today I'm excited to welcome Henry Chi as my special guest. Now, Henry is a business consultant and executive coach. Here at Catalyst, Henry is one of our elders. He's helped the Catalyst staff with their vision and mission statements, core values. He's taught the church family on personality styles, strengths, and everything related to our God-given design, just a wealth of knowledge and wisdom. Henry is married to Agnes, and together they have two children, sons Jaden and Noah. And with that, Henry, welcome to Catalyst Stories.
Thanks, John. Thanks for inviting me on. And it's so funny because you asked me, you go, how do you want me to introduce you? Do you want me to say executive coach and elder? And I said, can you just tell them that I'm your friend?
Yeah.
So I was like, so yeah, it's interesting to just have such an honoring introduction.
Oh,
thank you.
I just thought that wasn't going to do it justice.
Oh.
you're much too humble.
Oh, thanks. Okay, friend of Jesus.
Yeah, there you go. But, Henry, I've appreciated our conversations over the years on everything regarding, coaching styles and things centered around our God-given design, and they've been awesome. You have the consulting handbook in your head, it seems like.
A little rusty, yes, maybe.
Yeah, so it's just been so awesome to be able to chat with you, and I'm so excited to have you share how God has been leading your family, especially recently. And I mentioned this too, that I'm strongly feel that your testimony and what you've created in your home, this tremendous tool, will help people, especially families, but really everyone, to stay grounded and connected with God and with each other in such an awesome way. So I thought I'd start by seeing if you could take us back to your big move, because I know that was a big thing that you really sought the Lord in, and maybe how that led to your journaling and this great idea.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Thanks for asking about that. Yeah, so probably about 4 years ago, I'd probably say it was right around Memorial Day. It was 2020. Okay. We were in the middle of the lockdown.
Yeah.
And then as many of you heard or saw the video that Emily Ganico, she produced, she's awesome. She's just such a great storyteller.
Yes.
She produced the video of how one day we went for a walk during the pandemic when the streets were completely empty and isolated. And we just did a prayer walk. Agnes and I did a prayer walk with the Lord. And he laid it both on our hearts at the same time that we were to move. And this was May of 2020. And it was scary because it was in the middle of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
The only direction we got was that it was time to move from Palos Verdes and then to move closer to Catalyst, to the Long Beach area.
Oh, okay.
We didn't know where we were going to be moving to. We didn't know what was waiting for us. So just in faith and obedience, what we did was in June of 2020, a month after we heard that, and we received several confirmations.
Like what? I'm just curious.
Oh, gosh. when we were trying to figure out whether we should either sell the house or we should rent the house, I just asked the Lord, hey, if we're supposed to sell the house, then have us meet with our friend who's a realtor, and then have him give us this very specific price that he wants us to sell the house at, which is the price that I was asking the Lord about, the number that he gave me. And when our friend showed up, that was the actual number he told us to list the house at. And then at the same time, two other families, the Lou family, which is now in Texas, and they have an amazing story. They need to come on here and share their story of what recently just happened to them yesterday. And then the Choi family that we were friends with too. That same week, we heard from the Lord about moving. They came and they told us that they also heard from the Lord and they were moving. And one of them was moving to Texas, and the other family was moving to Kansas City, to Missouri.
Wow.
So that was just the oddest thing that these friends that our kids were friends with and we were family friends with, the same week that we heard from the Lord that it was time to move, they told us that they heard from the Lord and it was time to move.
Wow. And at that time, they didn't know that you had this in mind as well.
No.
They had no idea.
No. In fact, Agnes and I remember we were on a hike with the Lous.
Yeah.
And then we said, oh, well, something kind of odd happened 2 days ago. And, we kind of both felt like the Lord told us to move. And then they looked at each other and they said, the Lord told us 2 days to move, 2 days ago to move too. And we're like, well, where are you guys moving to? They said, we're moving to Texas. And they said, where are you guys moving to? We said, We think closer to Catalyst to the Long Beach area, but we're not really sure. So, I mean, all the families. And then the following day, my friend Joe calls, and he calls me from Kansas City, Missouri. He was at IHOP, and he was receiving prayer at IHOP. And he said, oh, during the prayer session, the Lord told me to be my family. And this was the day after the Luce told me that they were moving, and three days after the Lord told us to move. So that's just crazy.
Yeah, right? That is.
So a lot more confirmations, but those are some of the big ones.
Wow. So you get these confirmation and confirmations, and what happens next?
Well, so we went ahead and we put the house up, and then we started our journey, and things just started miraculously happening. I mean, I just want to encourage everybody and just let everybody know that when you connect with the Lord in prayer and you are willing to just lay down and submit your life and whatever he wants for you.
Yeah.
And you hear from him what he wants, and it's big and it's scary, but you say yes and you step into it. Mm-hmm. And with all your heart, your mind, your will, you love the Lord and you do what he puts on your heart.
Yeah.
He will make it happen.
Yes.
He will make it happen, and he will make it happen in miraculous ways that you would never expect.
Yes.
And so that's what happened to us. The minute we said yes and we started meeting with people and sharing, confirmations were happening. The house was on the market within 3 weeks. So miraculously, I don't know how you get a house together in 3 weeks with all, you know, the fixing and making it look nice and painting and touch-ups. And you know, this is a house that's been lived in for 7 years by some little kids, you know. Yeah. So it's kind of it looks interesting. So we were able to get it done in 3 weeks, and then we went on a road trip. Yeah. Amazing thing. Turns out the house was sold even before we went on the road trip. So we went on this road trip for 30 days thinking, oh, it's going to take at least 30 days for the realtor to show the house. And, and it's COVID, so they were doing the special signatures, and you had to prove you were pre-qualified and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then the interesting thing is I think the house was only shown to about 8 families.
Huh.
And it was, I think, the 5th family that saw it, and we weren't even out of town yet. We were just visiting my in-laws in Thousand Oaks, and we hadn't even gone on our 30-day trip yet. Because I told Agnes, I don't want to be here during the open houses because I don't like it when they call you at 5 o'clock in the morning and tell you someone's going to show up at 6 and you got to show your house and you got to get everything ready and pretend like nobody lives there, you know. So I told her, we're going to go on a road trip. We're going to go visit the national parks. And so we did that for 30 days. But it turns out that before we went on that trip, while we were in Thousand Oaks, the house had already had an offer on it. So we heard about the offer. I think our second or third day on the road trip, the offer actually came through.
Wow.
It was just interesting.
And was it the amount that you had asked for?
It was over. It came in over asking price.
Oh, my.
They wanted a 30-day escrow. We were panicked because it was like, we just started our 30-day road trip. How are we going to get back here pack all our stuff in 5 days? We still had a house full of furniture, and the Lord took care of all the furniture during COVID. Nobody was taking donations. Nobody was picking up.
Yeah. So what happened?
This company called Habitat for Humanity, which you're all aware of, they were the only ones picking up. They showed up. There's only certain things that they wanted, so they took all the stuff I put in the garage, and I happened to casually mention to the movers, we also have a house full of other furniture, like this gigantic 60-inch glass table. So they said, I said, do you want to see it? And they said, sure. So they came in the house, and they said, we'll take it all.
Oh, my goodness.
And they canceled their next stop, and they said, we'll take it all.
They had the space on their truck to put all the extra things in
there. They did, but they had to cancel their next stop. So they just took all the furniture we had in our house, because I was like, I don't know what to do with it, because we have literally 2 weeks to move. We canceled our road trip a little bit earlier. We came back a week earlier. But the amazing thing that happened with the drivers is, as we were talking to the drivers, they said to me, why are you giving all your stuff away? Are you moving overseas? And I go, no. And they go, well, what are you doing? And I said, we're followers of Jesus, and we prayed and we asked, and he told us to move. Wow. So in faith and obedience, we are just giving everything away, and we are moving.
Wow. What was his reaction when you said that?
He said, wow, I have cancer. Will you pray for me?
Wow.
And it's like, what? Wow. And he goes, yeah. And then we said, sure. I think it was cancer. It was something. He had some sort of disease or ailment. I can't exactly remember what it was, which is why I write stuff down now, which we'll get to later.
Yes, yes.
And so I said, yeah. So Agnes came over, and then Agnes and I started praying for one of the drivers. And we're ministering to him. The other driver, the two of them who were the movers, the other Habitat for Humanity driver, he's been yelling at this guy all day. Because the guy who asked for prayer is older. He was probably about 60, a little bit more frail. The other guy was younger and stronger.
Yeah.
And he kept saying to the guy, you're too slow. You've got to pick up heavier things. Yeah. Hurry up, like that. Yeah. But the minute he saw us praying for this man who had asked for prayer and for a touch from Jesus, the guy comes over and he starts praying with us.
Wow.
And he's like, oh, well, I'm Christian too, so can I pray with you guys for this man? I'm like, for your coworker? Yeah, sure. Come on over, right? So the three of us start praying for the coworker, and it was just fun.
Yeah.
So it's neat to see the Lord just show up unexpectedly in those situations.
Yeah.
And then you start to realize that it's probably not about the move. It's probably not about the furniture, but it's the fact that the Lord wanted to touch this person and then wanted to touch both of them.
Exactly.
Right? That was more important to him.
Right. I was thinking even the younger driver probably, you know, was able to refocus and change his perspective from this, you know, come on, hurry it up, and to almost, you know, this empathetic, you know, I don't know, be able to give to his coworker.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you can definitely sense when we were praying together, and then the coworkers praying for him.
Yeah.
You can sense that there's this new connection that's kind of being formed. There's the joy of the Lord and the peace of the Lord, and this new level of brotherly love that's kind of bringing them together. Right.
Yeah.
So they left in peace. They left with joy. They left kind of in a new friendship.
Yeah. And then they didn't have to go to their last location either.
No, they didn't.
Maybe
no.
They had an earlier day.
They might have been a lot happier too.
That's such a neat story.
So just different things like that. Yeah. So then as we were leaving and as we were wrapping up and we were getting to move out, so we ended up moving the first week of August. So thank you, Jesus. We prayed and prayed and prayed for an extension of the escrow because they wanted us to close escrow July 31st. So the house went on the market the last week of June. The offer was officially accepted on the house on July 3rd, I remember, because we were in the Grand Tetons watching fireworks the night of July 3rd before it was July 4th, and they wanted a 30-day escrow to close on July 31st.
Wow.
And I thought, there's no way. And we came back home on July 24th, and we had 6 days to pack up and leave. And I started asking people, could you please pray for an August 7th close date? Because we need the extra week.
Okay.
And we ended up closing on August 6th, I believe.
Okay.
It was the 5th of the 6th. Yeah. And then they gave us an extra day to stick all the extra stuff we had in our U-Haul and just drive away. So it all worked out in the Lord's timing.
Oh,
totally in the Lord's timing. And then we also didn't know where we were going. So we prayed into that, and, you know, Emily has captured that awesome story of how we ended up in Long Beach at this house that we, it met all the criteria that we prayed for, and it was where we were supposed to be. But as it turns out, it really wasn't about us being in this house. It was really about what the Lord was calling us to do in this neighborhood.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah, the neighborhood has a very strong, has very big strongholds in that area. And there's darkness you can sense in the neighborhood.
Okay.
So as soon as we got there, Agnes and I started prayer walking that neighborhood all the time. And then we actually didn't know where we were going. And we would just start walking and prayer walking. And then one time as we were prayer walking, we ended up on one of the streets over from where we were living. Mm-hmm. And there's a gigantic Buddhist temple over there. And it's so dark over there. You can just kind of sense the darkness. Mm-hmm. And then so we just kind of picked up an assignment to kind of prayer walk around that area of the neighborhood and pray for the light of the Lord and revelation of who he is to the people in that community.
Yeah. So you're in this neighborhood for how long then?
We were there from August to January, only for 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
4 or 5 months. And we had no idea we were going. So we didn't know how long we were going to be in that neighborhood.
Right.
Yeah. And then Ellen Kamaki helped us find a house in Los Alamitos.
Yeah.
And Yeah, it was such a God thing. It was such a God thing where we ended up and the neighbors that we have. And it turns out we homeschool our kids. We started homeschooling them when Jaden was in seventh grade and Noah was in fourth grade. Turns out our next door neighbors also homeschool. And then the neighbors across the street homeschool. But we didn't know any of this when we bought the house. And as we all kind of discerned this was the house that the Lord wanted us to buy in Los Alamitos, we put an offer in. They accepted it. And then my kids say to me, they go, you know what? The only thing we really wanted in a new house is we just wanted other boys our age who live on our street to play with, that we could hang out with. And we're like, well, you should have told us that earlier before they accepted our offer, because we don't know that. And you can't really manufacture that. I'm not sure how you go look for a house where there's going to be two other boys who are your age that you can play with. Turns out the homeschool kids across the street, they are my kids' age, and they come over all the time. They knock on the door. I mean, we pretty much just walk into each other's houses.
Yeah,
and so my kids are hanging out with them all the time. They now go to the same homeschool learning center. You know,
I think they came over that time I was at your place. I remember two boys at the front door.
Yes, you're probably right. Yeah.
So let me back up a little, because even you finding the house, I mean, even though, you know, you did have Ellen to help you out, but that was a process there too, right? And because you had, you looked at more than one house. And so I wondered if you can talk about even that, of how you came to deciding, or that the house you're in, and not deciding on the other ones that were shown to you.
Yeah, what we did was we did a discernment process. So basically what we did is the four of us would go, me and Agnes and the two boys, we would go and we would just pray while we were in the house. And we would just ask the Holy Spirit, is this where you want us to be?
Okay.
And Ellen is so cute. She would say, this house needs to have four Holy Spirit yeses in order for it to be purchased. She would say that. It has to be four Holy Spirit yeses.
Oh, that's
what she called it. And so that's what we were looking for. We were looking for four Holy Spirit yeses.
That's great.
And this is the only house that had four Holy Spirit yeses.
Yeah,
All four of us said, yes, this is the one. Uh-huh. There was no hesitation. It was go ahead and put it in. And then even the interaction with the realtor who was selling, that was such a God thing. And so it was through this whole journey. I mean, there was so much happening. And then, you know, just so people are aware too, when you say yes to the Lord and you choose to align your will and your actions with what he's calling you to, you will experience so many new things about who God is and his goodness and his grace and his protection over you and his love over you, and you will see so many more miracles.
Yeah.
But you will also experience more opposition, and you will also see the enemy rise to challenge you. And these are all ways that God uses to grow our character and to transform us more into the image of Jesus, and to know him better, to connect with him at a deeper level. So I don't want to sound like this was all, you know, delightful and wonderful, and we were just holding hands and singing all day and, you know, looking for whatever the Lord was doing. I would like to get to that place, but the enemy was very deep in opposition and didn't like that we were prayer walking that new neighborhood. There was many things that were sent our way, that were just horrible. But every time we chose to pray and to release it to the Lord and ask him to show us his will and align it with him, then we would start to see these miraculous things happen. And then we would start to remember, oh my gosh, this is crazy that this happened. We need to write this down. So then I started this book. So I just had this, you know, it was like one of those high school lab composition journals, the black and white ones that you put your name in front, that they always told you to bring to chemistry lab.
That's
the only thing I had, because everything was in storage, right? So I had one of those, and then I just started writing in there the things that we were praying and asking the Lord to help us with and to reveal to us. And then we were rejoicing, so we were writing how he was answering the prayers, and then they would just become a remembrance. So every time the next hard thing happened, or anytime we felt like we wanted to just worship, we would just, oh, remember when the Lord did this? Anytime the fear tried to come in, or anytime the negativity or the doubt started to come in, we would just look at that and say, oh, remember when this happened? And then we were praying about this, and this is how the Lord answered it, and this is who he is, and that really helped strengthen us to move forward.
Yeah.
So we had that little book, and then when we moved to the house in Los Alamitos, the Lord really impressed on my heart that he wanted me to create these boards and put them on the wall of the new house. And the boards were going to be these requests boards, these remembrance boards, and these rejoice boards. Mm. And he just wanted me to start writing down what he was doing. And so about a year and a half after we moved in, I finally got to the place where I obeyed that time. Then, you know, I got too caught up in my head, too. I was like, how do you want me to do this, Lord? And, you know, should it look like this? And, oh, it'd be so great if it was plexiglass, and then you could erase it. And then where's it going to go on this wall and this wall? And I kept thinking, you know, and trying to come up with my own ideas of how it's going to look, right, and trying to make it look artistic.
You have to make it perfect, right, before
exactly.
you jump into it.
Yeah, it's going to be beautiful if I want people to look at it, and if it's going to be a memorial to the Lord, and
yeah,
I want
yeah.
the kids to engage it and write it. And then, you know, that like hung me up for a year and a half, along with some other house issues that we had that the Lord worked through too.
Yeah. So what finally pushed you over the top then?
I just asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if this is from you and you want me to start commemorating our requests and start commemorating the way you've answered our requests and start commemorating, remembering your goodness and how you show up in our lives and who you are, then just show me how you want me to put these boards up and where you want them to go. And then the next thing I know, I'm buying a $30 roll of white paper that you can just glue or just kind of stick onto the walls and just cut to whatever size you want. You could write on it with dry erase board, and it's just a peel and stick kind of thing that doesn't ruin your wall.
Like a post-it.
Like a
big post-it.
Yes, it's like a 3x2 post-it.
Yeah.
And then I'm asking, Lord, where do you want this? And in my head, I'm like, oh, where's the biggest glory to the Lord? How about in this prominent area in the living room? How about over here next to the TV? Yeah. Should we replace the TV? Exactly, right? Like, how do we make it look like an art gallery or something like that, like, you know, that probably consumed me for another few months trying to figure out where to put the wall, right? So it takes me, you know, a year just to get the paper, then it takes me another few months just to, you know, because I'm trying to figure it out in my brain, and finally one day I just say, Lord, where do you want your commemoration boards? And all I got was kitchen wall, and I look over at the kitchen wall and I go, that is the perfect spot. Why would I never think of putting it there? Because everybody has to pass through that kitchen wall to get to the other parts of the room.
Yeah, yeah.
The kitchen is the place where we spend the most time.
Exactly.
The kitchen is the place where the family does the devotionals and where we read our Bibles together.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's the place. So about a year and a half ago, I finally got around to putting up these 3-foot by 2-foot boards. There are three of them. You just peel them and you stick them on the wall. They sit side by side. One of them says, on the far right, it says requests. And that's the board where whenever we feel fearful or anguished or concerned or we have a request, we just write it there.
Yeah.
Right there. The second one is the board that says rejoice. And rejoice is where we write down how the Lord answered our prayer. That's on the request board. And then the third board on the far left is the remember board. And the remember board is where we write down who God is. We want to always remember who he is and how we experienced him and who he means now to our life. Because a lot of times the Lord in our lives, the Lord is not big enough to deal with some of the things that we feel like we have going on.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it's just because we won't allow him to be that, be the creator, be the master of everything in our lives. And once we submit that through requests and through petitioning and see how he wants to work that, then we start to realize there is nothing he can't do and how big he is. So on our remember board, we write down a name or a new revelation of what the God reveals to us of who he is and his greatness.
Yeah.
So that's how we use the board. We have those three up in the kitchen now.
Yeah. And I just love how, you know, when even when you speak Sunday mornings, Henry, you make things so incredibly and so incredibly easy to remember. And I love about this the three R's, right? The request, rejoice, and remember. That it's something that you. It just kind of rolls off your tongue, so you can remember it.
Yeah, actually, the Lord gave it to me in a funny way, because we homeschool our kids, right? So we homeschool our kids, and the Lord was reminding me that in school, they teach the three R's, writing, reading, and arithmetic.
Oh, that's
those
right.
Those are the three R's.
That's right.
And then he said that he wanted to teach me how to request, how to rejoice, and how to remember.
Yeah.
And he wanted my kids to learn those three R's, because those three R's would carry them through life more than reading, writing, arithmetic. Nothing wrong with that. We do teach our kids reading, writing, arithmetic. Yeah. They do well at school. They can add in with... But these other three R's, the requesting, which is connecting with the Lord, seeing what's on his heart, sharing with him your heart, and then rejoicing in the way he just answers our prayers and remembering who he is, those would just, you know, carry them through life.
Wow. That's awesome. And I remember because I went to your house, and when I went through the front door, I did notice the three big whiteboards and you're right. It just, I mean, I think that was one of the first things when I walked into your house that I asked you weren't home at the time, but Agnes was, and I asked her about that because it just stood out. And what a great reminder, huh? Every day when you wake up and kids are eating their cereal or whatever, you know, whatever you feed them for breakfast, and they can see that, and serve as a reminder, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. So,
for sure. I did want to share one more thing fast.
Yeah.
When I was going to do the boards, there was a point where I'm just like, oh, forget the boards. You know what? It's too much work. I don't know what to buy. I don't know where to put the boards, like that. You know, you just kind of get to that place sometimes where you hear from the Lord and you've spent so much time in your own flesh thinking about it wanting to do it your way. And then it's confusing. And then you're just like, forget it. It was at that point where I bumped into Tim Hino at church. And then Tim's like, what's going on with you? And I'm saying to Tim, what's going on with you? And then Tim goes, you know, the Lord told me to start having my kids write down and post up things that he has done in their life so that they can start remembering and they can start getting used to their requests and seeing the Lord work in their life.
Wow.
And my jaw almost fell to the ground.
Yeah.
I was
guess
like,
what?
He what? And I said, the Lord told me the same thing. But, you know, I'm dragging my feet putting this thing up.
Yeah.
So then Tim says to me, hey, if you send me a picture of yours, I'll send you a picture of my boards. And I go, okay. Yeah. So then that got me off my butt to actually get the boards up and to seek the Lord about where to put them. And then so Tim sent me a picture of his. And it was post-it notes, and it was cute about what the kids were writing and posting. And so it was just a neat confirmation that the Lord was placing that in other people's hearts.
Yes.
And then how he worked through Tim Hino to get me to move on the boards that he had asked me to put up too.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a great reflection of how the Lord inspires people in the body. And then as we meet and as we talk and as we share, we encourage each other and spur each other on to the things that the Lord's calling us to.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just Henry, as you were sharing about how God not only spoke to you, but to Tim, and then even how you mentioned earlier in the podcast how God was speaking to you about moving and then two other families about moving as well. And it just makes me think, you know, God's speaking to us all the time, you know, but, you know, are we taking the time to seek him and to hear him?
For sure.
And, you know, I got to believe, you know, just with the way that he speaks to you and all these other people that he's speaking to us every day, isn't he? But it's just, you know, do we have that, the time and that, that trust to seek him that way.
For sure. Yeah, I'm convinced. I'm convinced that the Lord's speaking to us all the time. Yeah. And I'm pretty positive that I'm picking up maybe 0.5% to 1% of what he is telling me. Right. So some people be like, oh, wow, you listen to the Lord. Oh, wow, you're obedient. Oh, you're good. And I go, I think I'm picking up maybe less than 1% of what he's telling me.
I wish
I could be more open and more, you know, laying down what I want to hear what he wants.
Totally agree with you. Absolutely. And you know, the other thought was that the way that he speaks to us are in, you know, it's not a cookie cutter type thing where he speaks to everyone the same. So, I mean, just in thinking of your situation, for you, it was the three whiteboards that you saw so clearly. And with Tim, it might be these color, small color post-its, but it's all different, huh? It's in the way that that really resonates with us. So, you know, maybe for you, it's the three whiteboards. Maybe with someone else, maybe it is a physical type of journal or something different. But the way that in the way that really captures the heart of the different people.
For sure, for sure. Each person, each family.
Absolutely. Now, I asked you this before, and that's for you, the rejoice. How do you see the category of rejoice playing out in your family, and what has been the impact of rejoicing to you and your family?
Yeah, I wish I could say that despite what everybody thinks, my family is not the kind of family that sits around the table and sings worship songs and we're kumbaya and we're praying for each other all the time and, you know, Bible verses ramble off of our tongues and we encourage each other with Bible verses and we're just completely gentle and humble with each other, loving all the time. No, that is not my family.
It's not?
No, we are,
You guys are all so talented and are all on the worship team.
We're not the Stepford Christian family or even the, you know, yes, I would love something like that and just peace to reign all the time, but I would probably say more of the time there's somebody's in a bad mood. A lot of times it's me. I would say other times people are picking on other people, and sometimes it's me picking on others.
Just a normal family.
Just a normal family. There you go. But I think when we do take the time to stop and to, first of all, practice Sabbath, right? So just a shout out to different people who've encouraged us to practice Sabbath, like Mimo and others who have said rest is important. So learning how to do that and learning just how to practice a weekly or a periodic Sabbath with the Lord that includes a connect time with family and a connect time with the Lord. What we started doing is we started incorporating these boards into our Sabbath time. So during the Sabbath time, we tried to release a blessing over the kids. We try to play games and just have a good connect time. We eat food. It's more of a relaxing time. And then one of the things that we do is we then ask the Lord. We say, you know, what is something that you want to impress on us that we should rejoice for? We look at sometimes the request board at that time and see what prayers have been answered. And then we move them over to the rejoice board. And then what we do is we literally write down a praise of rejoicing.
Nice.
And how he answered the prayer.
Yeah.
And then just to see the kids like, wow, the Lord did that.
Yeah.
You know, it does change the mood. It strengthens their faith. It strengthens our faith as a family.
Yeah.
So it helps us move forward. And I wish I could say that the kids wanted to do it all the time, but they don't. They don't. And sometimes we just say, what's something simple? What's something simple that you can write?
Right.
Or sometimes we say, well, why don't you reflect on it? And if the Lord gives you something, then maybe tomorrow morning you can write something down.
Right.
You know. So we don't try to force it all the time, but we do try to get them in the habit of just, it's really kind of a renewing of the mind too.
Yeah.
The way you choose to look at things.
Right.
So a lot of that request, rejoice, remembrance board is us renewing our mind and choosing to see God and to submit to his will and then experience his goodness. A lot of it is renewing of that. So the rejoicing does come from that.
Yeah. Because you said, every now and then, one of you will get in a dilemma, or I think you use the word in a funk, and that idea of rejoicing kind of helps get you out of it in some ways, right?
It does. It does. You look at the rejoice board because, you know, when you have teenage boys, a lot of times they will be like, oh, this and this and this. Or this and this and this.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, it's usually around friends, or it's usually around schoolwork, or it's usually around things that are just not going their way. And sometimes after you listen to them and then you kind of let them share what's going on with them, sometimes you can just ask them, you know, do you want to ask the Lord how he feels about that? Or do you want to take that to the Lord? And
then
you have them look at the rejoice board and see the prayers that the Lord has answered in the past. And then they look at the remember board and it helps remind them who the Lord is and who the Lord is in their life and who he is to them and how great and how powerful and how loving he is. And it's just a great reminder. In fact, the rejoice board, all three boards come from different verses that the Lord gave me. Can I share some of those
Absolutely.
Verses?
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. The request board, the one on the far right, comes from Philippians 4. And it actually starts with rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So it's interesting with that verse, people always start with, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. I mean, when you hear that verse, that's usually where people start.
Yep.
But actually, this section actually starts with rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice.
Yeah. And you know, when Paul repeats something twice, that it must be something that he wants you to remember, right?
Yes, it's important.
There's that double.
For sure. Yeah. So then when we do the requests on there, we're a lot of times we're not in that rejoicing place.
Right?
We're more
in
panic. We're more in worry. We're more in anxiety. But having the rejoice board next to it reminds us that as we do the request, we can rejoice because the Lord has already answered the prayer.
Yes.
Right? And then the rejoice board itself has a different verse on it too. And that verse is from Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 1. And it's, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Yes.
And then the third board comes from Joshua 4, and Joshua 4, 21. Joshua 4, 21. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may... that you may fear, what does this say? That you may fear the Lord your God forever.
Yes.
So, so that is the reason why we have the remembrance board too.
Yeah, you know, I think about that all the time. You know, even through the book of Deuteronomy, where God is, you know, telling them, remember the things that I have done and how I got you across the Red Sea and out of Egypt, and I. You know, I feel like part of that is because, you know, he knew that they would go through the wilderness, you know, the literal wilderness, and we go through the wildernesses of our lives, but that as we remember the things that he has done, that would give us, kind of like your whiteboard, so much hope and encouragement when we can see, you know, reflect back on the things that he has done and to know that, hey, he's no different today than he was back when he parted the Red Sea.
Exactly.
And that would give us such strength to know how powerful God is and how powerful he has been in our lives in the past. So
I
just love all three of those verses. And I'm getting so excited. I'm literally choking.
You're choking up with emotion here.
I love those scripture verses, Henry. And you know, so just an observation, but Thanksgiving. You know, the idea of rejoicing and giving thanks and praise to God for and remembering all the things that He has done. It's hard to become to think about what we don't have or what we're lacking. Or how bad our situation is when we realize how much God has done for us, huh?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. In fact, I had to say to my kids the other day, because sometimes, so here's the dark side of the board. The dark side of the board is when you start to use the board as if God is a genie. God is not the genie from Aladdin, where it's like, oh, can I get a watch? Oh, can I get a new drum set? Oh, can I get, you know, it's like, no, that's not what the request board is for. The request board is for us to seek what's on the Lord's heart and to share with Him what's on our heart and to take that to Him. Right. So it's not about, give me a new drum set. It's, Lord, I feel like you've called me to worship and you've called me to glorify you through music and you've called me to join there the worship
go.
Team.
There you go.
Yes. Please provide a drum or please provide drums for me so that I can do that. Right. Yeah. Versus like, I want a drum set. I want this. It's not a magical ATM. Right. So that is not who the Lord is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the remember one is not a remembrance of all the ways that the Lord gave you whatever you wanted.
Right.
It is really about who He is.
Yeah.
And learning more about who He is and how He works.
Yes.
How He works and how He wants to bless His children, but also how He does it in the way that He wants to. Because He knows what is best for us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the remembrance board becomes more of a remembering of God's goodness, remembering His grace. Even when it's not answered the way we want to, because it is answered. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I told my kids, I said, the number one thing that always stays on the remembrance board is remembering that Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we can be reconciled to God. And that we can be with Him forever and be His child, be His son, be His daughter.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you'll hear, well, what's God doing for me these days? God's not answering this prayer. God's not doing that. And I go, excuse me?
Yeah, yeah.
Is not sending His only son, is that not, died a painful death, a criminal's death on a cross so that you could have eternal life? Let's not forget that that is like the ultimate gift.
That's good.
Right? So let's start with remembering that first.
Yeah, that's so good.
Because that reflects who God is.
Yeah.
Right? That's His character. That's His nature.
Yeah. And I think you even said that, because I asked you, so do you keep all the requests and all the remembrance and the rejoicing on the whiteboards? And then you told me that, no, you erase them. And you had, in fact, you even have an idea of what you might want to eventually do with all the different things that go on the whiteboard.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, in the beginning, it was a little slow getting people to write things down. And I think in the beginning, I was the only one. You could see my handwriting all over. I think I even tried to masquerade my handwriting with like different writing, different color pens. So people would think, oh, who put that one up there, right? But it's very clearly me, right?
That's hilarious.
But as you encourage them over the year, you know, and they start to put one up and they start to see how the Lord's working and they start to pour their heart out to the Lord and it starts to become more natural, or they start to remember to do it that way. At some point, probably about a year to it, we needed to start to erase the board because it was getting filled up. And then at this point, what we do now is we erase it every quarter. So it pretty much fills up every 3 months. So we're right here on Easter, on March 31st, the day after, we're going to be erasing that board again. And it's full with stuff that's happened January through March. And then we'll start a new one for the next 90 days or so.
Yeah.
But as I asked the Lord, like, what do you want me to do with this? He impressed on my heart to take a picture. So what I've been doing is taking a picture of the boards before I erase them. And then I felt like at some point I'm supposed to print out these pictures and put them in a book, because it's not just about me and my family, but it's about the generations.
Mm.
So when I read from Joshua, in Joshua 21, he said, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, what do these stones mean?
Wow.
And I can imagine my grandkids asking me, like, hey, what does this mean? Or how come you have this written up in this book?
Wow.
Or their kids asking them,
we
want to be able to, through the generations, testify that the Lord is good and tell the stories of how he has saved us, of how he has rescued us, how he gives us eternal life, how he has provided for us, how he has healed us, and who he is.
Wow.
Yeah, and so for me, I started to realize that this is not just a board, but this is a legacy in my family for the generations of who the Lord is, and it is my way of passing down this faith and the stories of faith to my children, to my grandchildren, to my great-grandchildren, to my great-great-grandchildren for as long as the Lord wants to bless that.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That is so powerful. I am, and, you know, I can just see, I don't know, I had this picture in mind when you were sharing that of, you know, you're at Christmas dinner or Thanksgiving dinner with all the generations, and I can just see this picture of you whipping out the book and telling a story from this book, you know, this legacy that and just, you know, not only a physical book that they can read, but just, you know, being able to refer back to it and pull stories from it that might be appropriate for Mother's Day or Father's Day or Christmas or, you know, graduation or
oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. I in prep for this podcast this morning, I just started looking through some of the old pictures, and I'm like, I forgot that story. I forgot that happened.
Exactly.
I forgot this happened.
Exactly.
And one of the ones that was highlighted to me that was real interesting is, so we started homeschooling our kids about 4 years ago. They're in their fifth year of homeschooling. And one of the decisions that we made through the homeschooling was that if we put them through science classes, even if other teachers teach them science classes, we want it to be Christian or faith-based. Mm-hmm. So they use science books that are from BJU, Bob Jones University, that talk from a creation standpoint of view, but they also incorporate verses, and they also incorporate who God is as creator.
Oh, wow, that's great.
And so I remember when I looked at the board this morning, 2 years ago, I was supposed to buy a science book for Noah, who was going to be taking a science class with his Christian instructor, and they wanted this book, for him to use this book. And I could not for the life of me get this book. Huh. I had ordered it from three different places. It had got lost three different times.
Oh my goodness.
I had started ordering the book in June. He was supposed to have it by the end of August. It never came.
Someone didn't want you to have the book. Huh?
I know. So I get and I would even the day before the class started, I found a retailer who was selling the book used up in LA. And I called them to verify they had it at their used bookstore. By the time I called them, she said, oh, someone just bought it. Oh. I'm like, are you kidding me? Right? So I went to the Lord with the request, and I said, Lord, you called us to homeschool our kids.
Yeah.
3 years ago, you called us to homeschool our kids. This was a few years back, so we're now in our fifth year. And I said, Lord, you put on our heart to use the creation textbook and to use the book that speaks of your wonders and your magnificence and points the kids to you, but also teaches them about evolution and the worldviews. Lord, if you want him in this science class, you have to get this book to him because I am at my wit's end. I cannot get it to him. I do not know where it is. I cannot get it. It keeps getting lost in transit. And I just released it. At that point, I released it, and I wrote it on the request board. The next day, I take him to school. I see a science teacher, and she's asking me how my summer was and how it's going. And I tell her it's great, and then I start whining and complaining. You know, there's textbooks that you have in your class, and it's, you know, so hard to get. And, you know, I just sound like the typical parent, right? Yeah. You know, and why would you choose this textbook anyways? And, you know, it's like so difficult. And are the kids in the class having a hard time getting this textbook? And blah, blah, blah. And, you know. And then she goes, I might have an extra one. And I'm like, what? Right? It's like never occurred to me to just ask the teacher,
right,
like, do you have an extra one? Right. So she's like, starts to look around her classroom, and, you know, she's like, oh, no, it's not in here. And then she goes to the next teacher, and that teacher doesn't have it anymore. And then she comes back and she goes, oh, I'm sorry. I thought we had an extra one, and I just can't find it. I don't think it's anywhere here. And then I said, well, while you were in the other room, I happened to see a textbook on that table in the corner there that looks a lot like the book that you told us to order, right? Like I'm staring at it the whole time she's looking for it, right? And she goes, that's the book. That's the book. Here. And she grabs it. She takes it. She gives it to me. And she's like, here, you can have it, right? Yeah, and I'm like, thank you, Jesus, right? So I go home and I just rejoice. I'm like, I can't believe the Lord just provided. And then I, in my remembrance, I just say, Lord, you are the one who knows what I need even before we need it because it's your will.
Yeah.
And you will provide and you will provide just in time and you will provide the thing that we need based on what you want for us. Right. Wow. And so I just, we just write that down from the request and we see it go from a request to a rejoice. Like, I cannot believe this just happened to this remembrance of who God is.
Yes. Right. Yes.
So just a small story. I mean, we have other ones too, bigger ones, but that was the one where I was looking at the pictures this morning and I go, I totally forgot about that. I totally forgot. Yeah.
Wow. That's so awesome. And you know, now that you have this, I don't want to say routine, but it's almost like it's ingrained in your head now to, you know, the request, the rejoice, and the remembrance. And so, you know, it, like that situation, you know, you immediately thought afterwards of the rejoicing, and it just seems like it's a part of who you guys, you know, your family is now almost.
But,
you know, so shortly after I went to your house and I saw the whiteboard, you wouldn't believe this, but I heard a message by Pastor Bill Johnson, and he was talking about 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, and it was almost like you do a double take, but it was in that moment that I realized, oh my gosh, that is the whiteboard, because 1 Thessalonians, if I can just, let's see, I'm being disorganized, so give me a second.
That's okay.
1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 in the NIV. Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you, which you just talked about, God's will in Christ Jesus. And so there it is, right there, Henry. Yeah. I mean, you know, rejoice, pray always, and give thanks. You know, remembering the things that God has done. And so it was so fascinating because he was talking about the importance of those three things which you are doing, and he was spending some time with the Lord, and he felt, and this is what he said, he felt rejoicing always is the key to emotional health. And then he said, have you heard this before?
I have not.
Okay. And then he said, giving thanks is the key to good mental health. And then he said, finally, praying was one of the keys to physical health. And I just thought, wow, in that moment, it really hit me, although I was already in awe when I saw the whiteboard, but it just hit me the importance of those three things, how important they were in that we do that.
But in fact, I have to admit, though, a lot of times I don't feel that way. I don't feel like I want to rejoice. I don't feel like I want to give thanks. And then when it comes to those times, there's two things that I do. The first thing that I do is I just share with the Lord that I don't feel those things, because he already knows, right? So it's not really healthy for me to feel guilty and shameful, like, oh, I should be rejoiceful. Oh, I should be giving thanks. I'm, you know, it starts that slippery slope of the guilt and the shame, right? So I just take it to the Lord and I'm like, Lord, I know you ask us to do these things, but I'm just not in that place today. And then that's when I feel the Lord just saying to me, what's going on? And I just go, I just had a hard day with my kids, or Agnes and I are in a fight, and, you know, we're, you know, not in a good place, or whatever, right? Or my mom is driving me nuts, or whatever, right? So one of the things I learned when I'm not in that place of rejoicing and thanksgiving is just learn to just share and pour your heart out with the Lord.
Right?
It's not grumbling, because I'm not grumbling against him. he's good with complaining because he knows what's on my heart.
Yeah.
But then what I found is once I release those emotions to the Lord, and then it's almost like a revelation to me too, like, oh, I'm feeling this way. I'm feeling depressed. I'm not feeling very happy. I'm upset about this. Once it's revealed to me too that I'm feeling a certain way, it's almost as if the Lord takes those from me. And as he takes those from me, then he starts to put in things that I can be rejoicing about, that I can be thankful for. Mm. It's almost like an act of choosing to empty myself of those negative emotions and just sharing with him where I'm really at.
Yes.
And it's almost like this unspoken prayer of asking him to give me his joy.
He fills that.
Yes.
That when you allow for that space, he fills it with the good stuff.
Uh-huh. Yes. And then when I'm praying that, I naturally find myself just transitioning from these negative emotions to all of a sudden just this thanksgiving.
Wow.
Or just remembering who God is and then just praising him for who he is.
Yeah.
And then it just naturally leads to some sort of petitioning.
Right? Yes.
And then just listening, like, okay, God, just what is it that you want from this situation? Or you have to show me what it is that how you see this.
Yes. Right?
So,
yes.
Yeah.
Wow. This is so awesome. So it's interesting because earlier you talked about renewing the mind, and one of the questions I was going to ask you was, you know, how do we do that? How do we renew the mind? And I think you just came up with one of the responses is just like you said, just honestly going before God, and kind of, you know, emptying out that space for him to fill with the truth of you know, how he sees us or how he sees our situation and where he can fill it with the truth.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of times it starts with a trigger of something, right?
Yes.
So I can have a trigger with Agnes, my wife. She could say something. I don't like what she said because it makes me feel this way or makes me feel that way. And because of my feelings about that, then all of a sudden my mind starts to different thoughts about her. Or our relationship or things like that.
Yeah.
And then if I sit in that long enough, I start to believe that they're true.
Yeah.
But if I can sense when it's triggered and it's put me in these negative emotions.
Yes.
And I could take them to the Lord and say, well, I'm feeling really hurt about something that she said to me.
Yes.
Or I feel disrespected that this happened or that this happened. And I'm sharing that with the Lord and kind of releasing it.
Yes.
And
yes.
In that same way, I'm also saying, Lord, take these from me, but show me how you see it or what's really happening here.
Yeah.
Right. So then in that moment, as I'm choosing to take those negative emotions to the Lord, I'm actually inviting him in too.
Yes.
I'm inviting him his peace and what he wants. Right. And that's a way to kind of start to clear these things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just wanted to quote, because you mentioned renewing your mind, and I just wanted to quote that scripture, Romans 12:2. In the NIV, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Yes,
and,
amen.
Amen. And, you know, one other thing that you had mentioned about, you know, allowing God to fill that space, Henry, with the things above, with the, you know, we've talked about it at Catalyst a lot, the kingdom, kingdom living, kingdom thoughts. Colossians, I think it's Colossians 3:2, set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things. And then just, well, wait, I'll move on from there.
And if anybody wants to talk about kingdom and renewing the mind, Pastor Ross is just on this incredible journey of the Lord renewing his mind and showing him how the Lord thinks about things and feels about things with the kingdom. So I would just give a shout out to Pastor Ross for just bringing us on that journey and going through it.
Absolutely. So I wanted to ask you, because moving forward with this white board, which has really become, I mean, I look at it like a family treasure, almost like a jewel that you have. You mentioned that you want your family to now focus the request section in a very targeted way. And so I wondered, for the season that you've been called to, so I wondered if you can talk to about that and who you want to focus on for this season that you feel your family is in.
Yeah. It's so interesting because as you use this tool, right, and I just want to preface, and here's my disclaimer. This tool does not replace the Bible or the Word of God or your own prayer time and connection time with the Lord. Please still do those things. In fact, the board is just a place for you to output what the Lord is speaking to you or what he's laying on your heart or where you're at that you want to share with the Lord. So it's just really a tool to help you do that.
Sure.
And it's so interesting to just, as I take pictures and I look back at the last few years of us using this board, it's so interesting to see how these requests change from, you know, in the beginning, they did sound like God was our personal genie, right? Like, oh, fix this for me or fix that for me. And then somewhere probably around the end of last year, 2023, the board started to take a different type of feel, the request board. So what's the top request on the request board right now? The top request on the request board is for a facility for Catalyst. Yeah. And it's not a facility for Catalyst per se, but what it is to pray into what the Lord wants to do at Catalyst with this body of Christ. Which is to move us into the next stage or move us into the next phase of what he has for our church, which is really stepping out, right? Stepping out, reaching out, evangelizing, living that kingdom lifestyle with our friends, our family, our neighbors, and then a facility that facilitates that. I mean, that's really what a facility is. It facilitates whatever the Lord wants to do within this body, right? So it's praying into that picture, praying into the Lord's will for this facility to facilitate what the Lord wants to do at this church, in his this part of his body in this coming season. So that's top on the list. Other ones on there, though, that are kind of interesting are requests for neighbors and family members to know the Lord.
Wow.
So now we've written more salvation and salvation type of prayers on there. For example, there's a few neighbors on there that we've just been, you know, ministering to and talking to. My stepmom is on there. So I visited my stepmom in December of 2023. So we've been praying for her salvation. So what I've discovered is that as you use the tool and as you connect with the Lord, you start to write down the requests that are on his heart versus just on your heart. This is what he cares about. He cares for the things that we care, but then you start to want to align with the things that he wants to care for. And then you start to see, oh wait, are there opportunities here for us to step into? So that's interesting. It's an interesting evolution of the board.
That's so good. Wow. Well, you know, Henry, as I don't know where the time went, but I could talk to you for another hour or two. But as
don't do that to your listeners.
Well, they're going to be blessed. But as we start to close our time together, first of all, I want to just thank you for being here and being with me and sharing this amazing tool with us and the testimony of how it's impacted you and your family.
And yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, and I, as I shared with you before, I just felt like it would be great if you could lift up our prayer for our listeners, especially those with families and maybe couples and or those that are going through challenging times in their lives and, you know, maybe even looking for more peace and harmony in their lives. And, I mean, whatever comes to your mind, really.
Oh, sure.
Was just wanting to know if you can do that for us.
Yes, I would love to do that. I would love to.
Thank you so much.
So let me do that right now. So for all the people who are listening, I just want to bless you in the name of Jesus. Bless you that may you know that there is a God in heaven who created you, who created the heavens and the earth. May you know that he loves you unconditionally. May you know that he is magnificent. He is all powerful. He is wonderful. And may you know that he wants you to experience and know who he is and to have that deep, intimate relationship with him. So I just bless you today with that. that in this upcoming season and through the rest of 2024, may the Lord reveal to you in deeper ways, more intimate ways, in more personal ways, who he is, and show you his magnificence, show you how wonderful he is, show you how much he loves you and how much he delights and cherishes in you. And may his kindness bring you, if you don't know the Lord, may it bring you to repentance and a knowledge of who he is. Mm. And if you do know the Lord and if you've accepted him, may it bring you to a place where your life is fully submitted to him, that you are all in for everything that he has for you, and that he strengthens and gives you the courage to step into all the things that he has for you. So I just bless you with that. I bless peace from the Lord and his joy. Mm-hmm. And just a strengthening grace over you and over all your families, Lord. Mm-hmm. So I just bless the families with that, Jesus. So in your name we pray this, amen.
Amen. And thank you, Father God, for the way that you have led the Chi family from finding a home and now making a home up their place where they can lift up their earnest prayers and then rejoice and give praise to you, and finally that they can remember your goodness, your faithfulness, and how you speak and walk with them. And I just want to quote 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, "Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And so we want to request, rejoice, and remember. And Father God, you've given us the blueprint, and Lord, now help us to heed your word that we might have healthy families, healthy hearts, and stay connected with you. Thank you for the assurance that as we present our request to you with hearts of thanksgiving, that as Henry talked about, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, would guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that's Philippians 4:6-7. And Father God, we just thank you for this remembrance and rejoicing of things that you have done to help the Chi family as in even times, as Henry talked about, when they don't feel like rejoicing, Lord, how that is just a way that, as Henry said, they can renew their minds, Lord. And as you've said in Colossians 3:2, to set our minds on the things above and not earthly things. And now, Jesus, may you use these testimonies and Henry and the Chi family's lives, family, to inspire all of us to become all that you created and called us to be in Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, well, thanks, Henry.
Thank you, John.
Yeah. And that's it for today's episode of Catalyst Stories. Until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of encouragement and inspiration to others. God bless.